A suicide bomber strikes the Iraqi parliament and the largest group of people living by hazardous waste, minorities. Those stories coming up on Annenberg Radio News. Good morning. I'm Allison Brody. Security officials at the Iraqi parliament say the suicide bomber who killed at least 8 people there today may have been a bodyguard of a Sunni lawmaker. The parliament member survived, but 3 other Iraqi officials were counted among the dead. This morning's attack happened in the parliament cafeteria as several lawmakers ate lunch. It's believed to be the deadliest attack in the heavily fortified Green Zone, an area that houses Iraq's leadership and the U.S. embassy. The bombing came amid the 2-month-old security crackdown in Baghdad. President Bush today called the bombing an attack on democracy.
I strongly condemn the action. It reminds us, though, that there is an enemy willing to bomb innocent people in a symbol of democracy.
The bomb ripped through the dining hall just hours after another series of explosions took out a major bridge in Baghdad. That explosion killed at least 10 people and sent cars tumbling into the Tigris River. Officials say roadside bombs struck 2 NATO convoys in eastern Afghanistan today. 2 NATO soldiers died in the separate attacks that occurred within 5 miles of each other. NATO did not identify the deceased, but most alliance soldiers in the east are American. The explosions came just hours after a U.S.-led coalition killed at least 35 militants in southern Afghanistan. The head of the U.N.'s nuclear watchdog agency says Iranian officials have overstated the country's nuclear capabilities. After a visit to Iran, Mohammad al-Baradei of the International Atomic Energy Agency announced the Gulf nation does not have the material that can be used to make a nuclear weapon. State Department spokesman Sean McCormick warns that the international community must remain vigilant.
I don't think anybody should really take that deep a breath just because they haven't gotten to that point.
The IAEA plans to send a delegation of experts to the Gulf next month for further investigation. Fighting erupted again today in the streets of Mogadishu, Somalia, between insurgents and Ethiopian-backed Somali troops. 2 civilians caught in the crossfire were killed. This latest violence is part of an ongoing power struggle between the current Somali military and fighters linked to the Council of Islamic Courts. The council was driven from power in December by Somali and Ethiopian soldiers. These latest clashes come about a week after the country experienced intense fighting that left as many as 1,000 dead. Mogadishu's dominant clan, the Hawiye, had brokered a ceasefire. That fell apart yesterday when at least 5 people were killed. A Norwegian oil rig support ship carrying 14 people capsized off northern Scotland. The Coast Guard says 6 of the ship's crew members are missing. The Coast Guard is mounting a rescue effort and has called for any vessels in the area to report to the scene to provide assistance.
I'm David Cates in National News. Senate Democrats are accusing the White House of lying about the destruction of email messages concerning the 8 U.S. attorney firings. Senate Judiciary Chairman Patrick Leahy thinks the White House is stalling to save face.
You can't erase emails. Not today. They've gone through too many servers. They can't say they've been lost. That's like saying the dog ate my homework.
The computer system containing the emails was owned by the Republican National Committee. Leahy's committee approved but didn't issue subpoenas for administration officials' testimony and records. The panel wants to interview Principal Associate Deputy Attorney General William Mascella and White House political aide Scott Jennings about the firings. Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Rodham Clinton announced today the new co-chair of her campaign would reach out to Latino voters. Clinton co-chair Raul Izaguirre is a former president of the National Council of La Raza. About 69% of Latino voters voted for Democrats in the November 2006 election. New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson is hoping to be the first Hispanic president. Meanwhile, an informal poll on MoveOn.org's members show they favor Barack Obama and John Edwards. A Food and Drug Administration scientist testified today that a new painkilling drug is no better than the banned drug Vioxx. Dr. David Graham told an advisory committee that arcoxia is a potential public health disaster. Studies found arcoxia may increase the risk of stroke and heart attack. Vioxx was taken off the market in 2004 because of stroke and heart attack concerns in patients. The maker of Arcoxia, Merck & Company Incorporated, is standing by the effectiveness of its drug. Black leaders Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson are rallying outside CBS's New York headquarters, calling on the network to axe the Don Imus radio show. The troubled radio host has raised about $1 million so far today in his annual radio charity fundraiser. The event was not on TV because MSNBC decided yesterday not to broadcast it. Imus conceded the radio telethon may be his last. Imus has been under fire for making racist comments on his show last week. CBS is deciding whether to continue with Imus. Writer Kurt Vonnegut, called by his contemporaries as one of the greatest humanists of the 20th century, has died in Manhattan at the age of 84. Samia Khan reports.
Kurt Vonnegut was known for his biting humor in novels like Slaughterhouse-Five and Cat's Cradle. He was compared to Mark Twain for his ability to mix social criticism with troublesome subject matter. Slaughterhouse-Five is based on his war experience during the World War II firebombing of Dresden, Germany. Vonnegut spoke about being a prisoner of war.
I wound up with people from concentration camps and saw really desperately hungry people and saw some people die before food could be gotten to them.
Vonnegut also wrote short stories, plays, and autobiographies. 2005's A Man Without a Country was a book of essays and a bestseller. He said it was a nice glass of champagne at the end of a life. Vonnegut died after suffering brain injuries during a recent fall at his New York home. Samia Khan, Annenberg Radio News.
Now to what's happening around Los Angeles. I'm Deborah Green. A mother was deported to Mexico with her five children still living in the U.S. Today, her 14-year-old daughter speaks out. Dominique Vargas has the story from Boyle Heights.
Groups like the March 25th Coalition, May 1st National Movement, and Justice for Immigrants gathered with 15-year-old Teresa Mata as she asked President Bush for help.
Señor Bush, me llamo Teresa, tengo 15 años, que por favor nos ayude con el problema de mi mamá.
Mata went on to explain that she was deported from the U.S. with her mother and five siblings. She and her siblings were all born in America, but her mother was not. And now they're living in Mexico, in poverty. Stories like this are why immigrant rights leaders and organizations are fighting to get immigrants to boycott work, school, and shopping on May 1st to show their impact on the economy. Guillermo Torres is a leader of the March 25th Coalition and says they're continuing their struggle.
That way there could be a fair and just reform legislation on immigration, and that way the people could come out and living out of the shadows, out of the darkness.
The boycott demonstration in Los Angeles takes place on May 1st at the corner of Olympic and Broadway. This is Dominique Vargas with Annenberg Radio News, Boyle Heights.
It turns out the armed man who entered a Van Nuys area business this morning was carrying a play gun. The incident began around 8:30 this morning near the 16,000 block of Roscoe Place. Authorities say the man entered his workplace where he was involved in a dispute with a supervisor. Police say employees ran out of the building when they saw him wielding a gun. Officers arrested the man. His name hasn't been released. Another marijuana bust in the Southland. Detectives found more than $9 million worth of marijuana plants at a Roland Heights home last night. Here's L.A. County Sheriff Deputy Hugo Macias.
Detectives discovered that the entire house was being used as an indoor marijuana cultivation site. Detectives seized approximately 1,576 marijuana plants with an estimated street value of $6,000 per plant.
Police have not made any arrests. This is the fifth home-based marijuana operation found in L.A. County over the past 3 weeks. Civil rights leaders today reached a compromise with Beverly Hills Unified School District over the school's diversity permit program. As Tom Rippey reports, they're hoping to get more Black and Latino students in the city's schools.
Civil rights leaders met with Beverly Hills School Superintendent Carrie McVeigh today in an effort to get more Black and Latino students into the school's diversity permit program. Earl Ofari Hutchinson is president of the Los Angeles Urban Policy Roundtable.
We think that we are going to diversify the pool, we're going to broaden the pool, and we know at the end of the day that more African Americans and Latino students, and others too, will apply and take advantage of this great program.
Leaders from the NAACP and the LA Urban Policy Roundtable will use their resources to promote the program throughout Los Angeles. In recent years, a majority of the students admitted to the program have been Asian Americans. McVeigh says students are chosen by lottery and the numbers reflect the overall application pool.
To the extent that they give us a pool and those people applying are more diverse ethnically, the better we have a chance of adding to the current diversity we already maintain.
Superintendent McVeigh has agreed to extend the application deadline to April 26th to give more students time to apply. Thomas Strippy for Annenberg Radio News, Beverly Hills.
Most people who live by hazardous waste facilities are minorities. That's according to a new study conducted by the United Church of Christ. Los Angeles tops the charts with 1.2 million people living less than 2 miles from hazardous waste centers, and 91% of them are minorities. Reverend Bennett Guess, news director for United Church of Christ, says there's a similar trend across the nation.
Waste sites are predominantly located near communities of color and shows that people of color are at a disproportionate risk for disease and illness related to hazardous waste in their communities.
L.A. ranked first among major urban areas with the most people living near hazardous waste facilities. Oakland and Orange County placed fifth and sixth. Advocates for the homeless gathered outside of Los Angeles City Hall this morning. It's been 1 year since they announced a 10-year plan to end homelessness in L.A. As Caitlin Carroll reports, they're asking the mayor for more support.
Housing advocates and the homeless are creating a small tent city outside of City Hall today. They're trying to get the city to allocate more funds to housing issues. For the more than 90,000 people who go homeless every night, affordable housing is less about policy and more about survival.
I have a family of five here with me today.
That's Daniel Sutherland. He's currently staying at the Midnight Mission downtown. He's here today to tell Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa how it feels to not have a home for his kids.
Emotions, angry, frustrated, because I feel like the city mayor is not doing anything for housing.
Aaron McMorrow from the Los Angeles Coalition to End Hunger and Homelessness says Sutherland is not alone in his frustration.
It's a dire situation. It's a humanitarian crisis. People are living and dying on the streets of Los Angeles.
Her organization is pressuring the city to provide 7,500 new residential units for low-income families. And they're asking the city to stop police sweeps in Skid Row. In Los Angeles, this is Caitlin Carroll for Annenberg Radio News.
Emmy Award-winning actor Roscoe Lee Brown, whose career in the entertainment industry lasted 60 years, has died. He was 81 years old. Brown received an Emmy in 1986 for his guest appearance as Professor Foster in The Cosby Show. He also appeared in Shakespearean plays in the popular animal film Babe. His publicist says he died of cancer yesterday at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center. Roscoe Lee Brown, dead at 81. Expect those energy bills to drop. That's if you're a Southern California Edison customer. The utility company says the lower rates are part of a settlement of overcharges that were made during the energy crisis 7 years ago. Today, it will be partly cloudy, windy, and high surf along the coast. In downtown, highs will be in the mid to upper 60s, winds around 15 to 25 miles an hour. Tomorrow, temperatures are expected to rise sharply. That's it for Annenberg Radio News. With Allison Brody and David Cates, I'm Deborah Green. Have a great day.